Let's stand together and grab our Bibles this morning and turn in those Bibles to the book of Psalms. And we're going to look this morning at Psalm 73. And while you're turning there, if you're here without a Bible, there are men coming on the aisles right now with Bibles. Just raise your hand and they'll get one to you. And keep your hand raised high so we can see you. Psalm 73, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. Psalm 73, beginning of verse 1, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel and to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet, they were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies, they're so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people do. They're not plagued with the problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace. They clothe themselves with cruelty. And these fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff, they speak only evil, and in their pride they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words they strut throughout the earth. And so people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all of their words. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while riches, their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long, and every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper, but what a difficult task it is. But then I went into your sanctuary, O God, and there I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path, and you send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas, as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized my heart was bitter. I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like some kind of senseless animal to you. And yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail. My spirit, it may grow weak. But God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I've made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. Let's pray. Well, Father, we lift your word to you this morning and ask that you would speak to us as a church family just this morning to be able to worship you together and then to hear all of the incredible things you're doing through the missionaries that we've begun to build partnerships with, through the local ministries we've been able to partner with, and through these new and exciting opportunities that are yet to come. You're doing so many great things, and we're privileged to be a part of it. And now, Lord, we look at this passage. We ask that you would speak to us, show us more of who you are, show us more of who we are, give us the unfiltered truth about the reality of what our hearts really are, how we're prone to experience the very same things that Asaph experienced and writes about here. And Lord, help us to see that you're the same God that he could trust, that we could trust you just as he did in this scene. Give us grace, give us ears to hear, give me lips to speak, and we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. In the book of Proverbs, in the Bible, there's a passage, a very, very profound and important passage. It says this. It says, Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart, protect it, because in other translations, out of your heart flows all the stuff of life. Everything that you do, you say, all the decisions you make, the perspective you have on the world around you, all of that flows from your corazón. And what we allow in and what we allow to simmer in our hearts, it shapes our destiny. It puts us on a path. Our hearts, they're like gardens. And if we're not careful, weeds can sprout and overtake everything. Like a cancerous force these latent struggles of lusts and fears, of pride, of bitterness. They can be stirred so quickly by seemingly meaningless moments, a Facebook post, a brush up against an old companion, sitting in a cubicle next to somebody overhearing a conversation, and then all of a sudden it starts. Something wakens in our hearts, and it begins to simmer and fester. And if we're not careful to guard our hearts, that thing can become this life-dominating influence and will begin to shape our destiny. It sets us on a path. Here in the psalm, we find Asaph, who was one of David's worship leaders, writing about that very thing, how something happened inside of his mind. It soaked into his heart, and before he knew it, his feet were on a path. He was starting down a road, and it was taking him over. It was so quick. He, a worship leader, like for the nation of Israel, like he was supposed to be one of the super, super spiritual people who are untouched by life, because that kind of stuff exists, right? 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 That doesn't exist. And yet here he is in a moment, something happened inside of him that was beginning to shape how he saw the world, and it was affecting him at the core. This morning, we're going to learn a lot about our own hearts and about the God who made us, about how we, like Asaph, are prone to be so quickly captivated by things that are cancerous and will bring our insides to a toxic level and will shape who we are. So we're going to look at our own hearts and then the great hope that we have in God for we who have such weak and wandering prone hearts. So this morning we're going to look at just two things. First, what happened to this guy? And then second, what ultimately helped him? And so let's walk down this path with Asaph for a little bit. What happened to him? Well, the first thing we notice is that something happened inside his head, a thought. That again soaked into his heart, and it began to shape the way he saw the world and everything around him. Look at verse 4. We read there what he began to see. He was looking at those who weren't living for God, who unashamedly were living these proud, arrogant, cruel lives. And in verse 4, he says this. He says, these guys, they seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy. They're so strong. They don't have troubles like other people do. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. So we're not sure what triggered Asaph's thought. Maybe he was leading worship that day at the sanctuary, and he saw these guys passing by. Maybe he had a neighbor that was just a jerk of a human being and lived wealthy and was strong and healthy, but he knew that that guy was a cruel man and was proud and filled with just cruelty towards other people. I don't know what triggered his heart. But we know that something got his attention. He was thinking about, why is it that such bad people can have such good lives? And that thought right there starts here, but it soaks down in here, and it began to change him almost immediately. He says early in the passage, my foot was slipping. I was almost gone. Like, that's how strong this was inside of him. Now, before I go any further, let me address something that oftentimes gets confused by people, even Christians, who read the Bible. There is this contrast in the psalm between the pure-hearted and the wicked, right? Here, Asaph says, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? We're going to find out, as he found out, his heart was a little less pure than he thought. But there are many people who come to the Bible and think the Bible basically tells a narrative about good people and bad people, that you could choose to be a good person or you could choose to be a bad person. And if you choose to be a good person, then you'll be on God's good list. And if not, you'll be on his naughty list. And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Because when he comes to town, the good people, it's all good. But the bad people, it is all bad. So there are the good and then there are the bad. Which one are you, right? And that is not, however, what the Bible tells us. As we're even going to see in this psalm, this man who at one point considered himself to be so pure of heart, guess what his problem was? It was a heart problem. His heart was toxic, and not because of other people, but because of him. There are not good people and bad people. There are us, and we are all bad. We are all broken. We are all flawed. We are all wicked. When we read in this psalm the destiny of the wicked, it should grab every single one of our bones. Because guess what? That's who we are. Our destiny without God's divine, wonderful, gracious intervention would be destruction. But praise God, he broke into time and space and brought his son Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus Christ is the only hope that we have as the wicked people that we are. And so in life, there are two groups, but there are not good people and bad people. There are broken people who have found forgiveness in Jesus Christ and those who have yet to discover that and bend their knee to Jesus. So that is the question of which one are you, and that is, my friends, a very important question to ask. But don't think for a moment that this is a psalm for the good people. This is a psalm for broken people who like Asaph. Anybody in here struggled with these kinds of things? Know a little something about what it's like to look at another person's life and begin to think of yours and think, why is my life so hard? That's where he's at. So for Asaph, again, this same exact thing could happen to any one of us. Hasn't it happened to you? Haven't you had a moment when you were looking at the news, you were looking at some article, you were looking at some Instagram post, and instead of being happy for someone else's happiness, you had a little something-something else going on inside? You were either just, you know, first you were, you know, frustrated at the duck face. If I see one more of those things in my life, you know, God help me, I have a daughter. She's never going to own a phone. That's what's going to happen. But sometimes it's easy to laugh with people who are laughing and celebrate with those who are celebrating, and other times it's not so easy, is it? Sometimes even people we love, when they're enjoying something, it hurts because for some reason life doesn't come so easily for us at that moment. This psalmist, he had this thought about how easy life was for these other people, and it got him. It was inside of him. So it starts off with this thought about others, and then he starts thinking about himself. Look at verse 12. He says, look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. And in verse 14, he starts to look at himself. He says this, while I get nothing but trouble all day long, every morning brings me pain. You see how this path starts to unfold? He's looking at other people saying, those punks, I deserve the good that they're getting. They don't deserve that. Look at my life. He goes from them to him. And now he's saying, look at me. You know, poor old me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. So he goes from, they don't deserve it, to I do. I deserve better than what I'm getting. I get nothing but trouble all day long. And then this begins to just stir up all sorts of things inside of him. First, envy. In verse 3, he comes out and says it. I envy the proud. He says, listen, verse 1, he's like, you know, God's good, but I was angry. God's good, but man, I looked at the wicked in the world, and I thought, man, I wish I had their life. I wish I could enjoy the things that they enjoy. I envied them. You know what envy is? Envy is looking at something else that somebody has and saying, they don't deserve that, I do. That's what envy is. Envy is, it's saying, I hate that they have it because I don't. That's what envy is. And he's just stewing with it. One of God's worship leaders. Not only did he have envy, he was disillusioned. The words of verse 13 are so painfully honest. And I'll bet more than one of us, more than a few of us, probably most of us in this room have had similar thoughts. Verse 13, he says this, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Have you tried to keep your heart pure? Not an easy gig, is it? You can throw out all the stuff in your house. You can reorient your life to where those things that so quickly made your heart dirty are hard to get to. And guess what? It's still hard to keep your heart pure because all that stuff could be 100 miles away and the problem's still there. Because guess what? The problems that make our heart dirty aren't just out there. They're in here, and it is hard work to keep your heart pure. Guess what? You got to like repent like every day, every day. Every day you got to come to God and say, God, I'm broken. I'm a mess. Please, would you wash my heart? Would you cleanse me? And guess what? Not just every day, but like all day, every day. Because that, unfortunately, we can't just like put this in a box and keep it like nice and clean. It's in here. And all in here is all of our lusts and fears and insecurities and our pride, our anxieties and our desires and those things. Man, sometimes they go the right way, but a lot of times they go the wrong way and our hearts keep dirty. So here he is. He's saying, man, I've been fighting. I've been trying to keep my heart pure. I've been trying to repent. I've been trying to be clean. And is it for nothing? Because I'm doing all this and I get pain and they're doing none of that. And it seems like they're living la vida loca. What's going on? So he starts with looking at them. He starts then looking at himself. Then he's envious. Then he's disillusioned. He's like, maybe all of this is for nothing. And then it ends with him admitting that he's bitter. Look at verse 21. He says, my heart was bitter. I was all torn up inside. It is interesting. If you look at the word bitter, that word literally means something that's venomous. In the Old Testament, when water was unsafe to drink, they would call it bitter water. And that's exactly what he's saying. He said, my heart, there was poison inside of it. It was all sorts of unhealthy. Listen, if we're not careful to guard our hearts, seemingly meaningless moments will turn into these life-shaping forces that will turn us into a different kind of person than we ever thought we would be. It's the truth. So let me, before we get to the happy stuff, take a moment and just say this. One, we are just like Asaph, prone to be impacted just like he was. Don't you believe it? Don't you see it? Christian or not this morning, haven't you seen yourself get taken down a road way further than you ever thought you would because of some stupid thought, because of some post, because of some conversation you weren't even a part of. You just heard this thing, and now hours later, you're sitting there still thinking about this thing, and it's like, you're gritting your teeth. You're just, it's weird because we're weird. I'm weird. Maybe you're not weird. These things, we are so prone to be dominated by them. And that's why we've got to be careful. So when we read Psalms like this, this is a time for us to say, Lord, that's who I am. I'm just like this guy. And I need your help. Lord, would you help me identify those things in my life which stir this kind of nastiness up inside of me? Are you working to keep your heart pure? If you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, then he wants to be a part of this process, but it's a part that we play too. It's a, God, help me every day to walk in a way that honors you, to separate myself from those things which stir me up to those that stir up the wrong kind of passions in my life. Lord, help me to be careful about the environments that I put myself in, about the things that I'm allowing on my devices, about the things that I'm watching, about the things that I'm listening to, about the people I'm spending time with. Man, we don't need any extra stuff to be defending ourselves against. And so when I read a psalm like this, I think of, Lord, are there things in my life right now that I am being careless with, that I should be running from to guard my heart? If my life is already a full court press to be a kind, selfless servant towards those around me and not a selfish jerk, then God, help me identify those things that stir me the wrong way and help me to pump them out of my life as far as I can. It's a great morning for us to say, Lord, my heart's just like Asaph's. Show me what I need to be guarding my heart against. Let's move on to the happy stuff. Anybody ready for that? I am. Pick me. All right. So what ultimately helped Asaph? There is a turning point to this psalm, and it's in verse 17. It's just all nasty right up until there, and then there's the but then moment. He says in verse 17, but then I went into your sanctuary, O God. Now, this is funny, because remember, he's a worship leader. So he goes, and he's supposed to probably that morning be like up in front of people leading songs, and like, I hate the world, I don't know if God's good, but hey, glad you're at church, you know? That's his moment, right? He goes to church, he goes to the sanctuary, but while he is worshiping the Lord, something happens. He gets a whole brand new perspective, and in a moment he realizes, I've been an idiot, I've been so nearsighted, God has been so good. Earlier in the psalm, he says, I've had nothing but pain all day long, and then he's at the end of this saying, dude, God is amazing, I'm going to shout to everyone the good things that God does. Listen, you could write this down, you could just burn this into your brain. Even when and especially when you do not feel like worshiping the Lord, worship him. Even when and especially when you don't feel like worshiping the Lord, you know, it's Sunday morning, I don't know, I don't feel, yes, honey, jump in the car and roll. if your routine in the morning drive is to put on Bible teaching or worship music or to silence yourself in prayer, and that's your normal routine, but you get in the vehicle that morning for work and you're just like, I don't know. Yes, it's even when and especially when you don't feel like worshiping the Lord, worship him. Here's why. Because our hearts, they get funky. There's like a thick, toxic, nasty fog can settle in, and it begins. It can, and it's a real danger to make. That day, you will regret the things you say. You will regret the things you have done. You'll regret the way you've treated people, mistreated people, listened to or not listened to people. I mean, what happens here, it really does set the course of our life. And so when we feel that fog settle in, the one great cure is to get near to God, worship him. Here, he's the worship leader, so he had to go, right? He had to show up, you know. Where's Asaph? Oh, he was emo. He was out in the back. No, he had to get up there. And while he's at church that morning, who knows what it was like. Maybe it was the beginning of the service. Somebody was reading from the scriptures. And in the scripture reading, it was just like it got him. But something about brushing up against the presence of God pierced through the fog, and it brought sanity back in for him. Listen, this stuff is real. We have these thoughts. Do you know that you're going to have thoughts when you don't know? I don't know if I can trust God to be good. I don't know if this whole serving God thing really works out. Everything seems to be going sideways. Have you ever had those feelings? Guess what? That's not weird stuff. That's Bible stuff. Like every person who walks with God in this life is almost certain to find themselves in this place where Asaph was, where their heart's just messed up, their heart was unguarded, and they became a sucker for some stupid thought. But just by getting in front of God and worshiping him, whether it's coming to church, cracking a Bible open by yourself, putting on a worship song, and just worshiping him. It's like all of a sudden the fog can dissipate and you see the Lord and you remember he sent his son to bleed out on a cross for my sins. You could rack my body with every disease. You could kill me. You could drain my bank account and then put medical expenses on my family that I don't know how to cover. You could hurt the ones that I love. All of that's real and it hurts and it's painful and it's hard to understand. But when we see the Lord, all of a sudden the fog, it dissipates. Doesn't mean that the stuff isn't real and difficult to process. It's not like it all is like, hey, it's easy now. It's not easy now, but we can live through it now. We have the hope again that we need. He goes from like angry at God to confessing and repenting. Look at what he does here. Before that, I read something I have to share with you. If you've never gone through the Psalms devotionally, let me recommend a book to you by Tim and Kathy Keller. He and his wife, they sat down and put just a quick devotional thought for the days of the year through the Psalms, and they're excellent. Little just vignettes that are just a wonderful way to start your day. And of Psalm 73, the Kellers, they write this. Listen, the first step out of the sinkhole of resentment and envy is worship. The psalmist, he enters that sanctuary, and in the presence of God, his sight just clears. I can feel that. I don't know if you can feel that. I don't know if you can remember those moments where you were like so jaded, so just, I don't even know. And then that moment came where the Lord's presence, it's like you started worshiping him, you started weeping and praying, you had some obnoxious friend tell you about how good God is, and it actually went through all that funk, and it got you. And it's like, oh, man, I was insane a moment ago. I didn't even know it. But now it's the truth. It's real. I'm back to normal. Though life is painful and difficult to understand, my God is good and I trust him. And it's like, oh, that's right. That's what sanity feels like. He goes like this. Look at this. He says in verse 22, man, I was so foolish. I was so ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Just like, you know? He's like, God, thank you. Thank you for not giving up on me when I was just some annoying little. He realized how gracious that God had been to him in this season. Verse 23. He says, yet I still belong to you. I love that, don't you? Because, I mean, the way I act, behave, God should have disowned me 1,000 times over. Like, you used to be my kid, but now, mm-mm. But he doesn't. He doesn't disown us. Though we, in many ways, vote ourselves off the island, he holds fiercely to us. He says, I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. He remembers, listen, this world is not my home. I'm just passive. This is boot camp. One day I will lay this body down and enjoy the reality my soul longs for that nothing in this world can touch. I can't satisfy myself here, but one day I will be satisfied. One day it will all be worth it. His closing thought, verse 26. He says, my health, it may fail, it will, and my spirit may grow weak. He's saying something there. Early in the psalm, he's like, I'm pure of heart. No, you're not. Nasty little thing. I'm pure of heart. I'm trying. He's like, no, my spirit's weak. Even my best efforts, I can't crack this thing. I am messed up in 7 different ways. But he says, listen, though my heart, my health may fail, my body's going to freak out on me and I'll never get my spirit under control, but I have God. He's the strength of my heart. Though my heart is prone to be so susceptible to these fears and these lusts and frustrations and bitterness, I have a God who's stronger than my heart. Stronger than all these things. And I know that if and when the fog settles down on my soul, I can go to him and he'll be my strength. When I have no strength, he'll be my strength. He'll be the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Forever. I'll never lose him. So it's an incredible word. These psalms, aren't they great? Psalms to celebrate and praise God for the good days. Psalms to give us voice for prayers in the hard days. And psalms that wake us up to realities that we may not otherwise believe. It's kind of funny. If I had just come to you this morning and said, your heart's nasty, and you're just a weak little thing. But when we read him saying, I'm a weak little thing, we're like, oh, man, I'm right there with him. These psalms are sneaky, like little ninjas. They creep in and they get you when you weren't looking. It's crazy. We're just like this guy. That's the truth. But though we are just like this guy, his God is just like us. He'll be just like this to us. He'll never leave you, never abandon you. You put your faith in him, you return to him, he will never give up on you. I'll close reading a song. It's kind of, I don't know why this psalm took me to this song, but it's been a long time since I've heard it. Aaron Gillespie used to be the drummer for Under Oath. He went on to do his own music, and that was interesting. But then he had this moment between him and God where his music started to be all worship stuff, and it was just like, creme de la creme, really good stuff. He's kind of a punk rocker, long red hair, so you might not enjoy his stuff, but his lyrics, listen to this. He's got a song called I Will Worship You. He says this. He says, when I'm losing, when I'm broken, when I'm sinking like a stone and it feels like I'm alone, I will worship you. When I'm so scared that life is unfair, when I'm tired and I lose my way, when I'm feeling so ashamed, I will worship you. Because you are the anchor to my soul, so draw me to you and don't let go. Only your love can make me whole. Jesus, I worship you. And then he gets all happy. He says, and when I'm dancing, and when I'm hopeful, and when I'm feeling mercy's hand and I'm living life again, I will worship you. He says, when chains are broken, when healing's coming, when your forgiveness floods my heart, this is my brand new start, I will worship you. You are the anchor to my soul. Hold me to you and don't let go. Only your love can make me whole. Jesus, I worship you. Let's pray. Well, Father, we sit here before you, and this psalm, it gets to us. It shows us ourselves in ways that we don't like to admit, that we're a lot weaker, a lot less pure than we like to believe. Our hearts, they are weak and very susceptible to things that are so toxic. And so, Lord, help us this morning to ask important questions. Lord, are there things in our life that we should be guarding against that right now we're leaving ourselves vulnerable to? What are those things, Lord, that are stirring up these very poisonous weeds in the garden of our hearts? Help us to see those things, to turn from those things, and to do what's necessary to remove ourselves and remove these things far from us, Lord. But God, that's not our only problem. We can't move everything away from us that causes us to be so prone to these kinds of things, because they're inside of us. They're not just outside of us. Help us to guard our hearts, to think about, to pay attention to the inner dialogue of our hearts. We talk to ourselves, we muse on things, and sometimes that thing's great, sometimes it's harmless, and sometimes it's toxic. And help us to recognize when it is, and to see the fog as it settles in, and to believe, I need to run to my God, I need to run to my Savior before I lose my mind and start acting like a senseless animal. Lord, thank you that you hold our hands, you never let us go, that you will guide us with your counsel, and that you're leading us to a glorious destiny. That one day this fight will be over and we get to just enjoy the reality that our hearts long for. We get to go home. But until that day, Lord, help us to stay close to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.